back. It's October. It's been a minute. This is the 40-40 Club. I am Pierce. I am joined by Scott. Neither of us are enjoying October baseball the way we want to.
Of course
not. I mean that we still can't enjoy October baseball.
Hey, I'm enjoying it. My Dodgers.
Yeah, your Dodgers.
My Dodgers.
LDS, you know, my Fightins. in the NLDS, and we just rolling, man. So it's good to have October baseball. This is my favorite fucking time of the year where everything's rolling, and then the stakes are a little bit higher when you're looking at the diamond.
Definitely. And of course, we got our guys here, Dante, Mikey. Of course, you listen to He Gone Podcast, which is out right now. If you want to hear us put the final dirt on the 2022 White Sox season, you can listen to it right now. Shout out to the man, Sean. So we here. we gonna talk some actual baseball today. I always say I love them. I see Dante got the hat on. I love the Mariners logo. I just unfortunately live in a city that would get my ass whooped.
If
I wore it like immediately.
50 out of 50 press ratio.
Nigga, that's 100 out of 100.
Yeah.
200 out of 100 press ratio. I remember when Nipsey funeral. And they was like, one of the reporters on KTLA was like, well, it looks like there's a lot of Mariner fans here today. I was like, nah, nigga, the block is out.
That's very goofy.
I was like, that ain't no Mariner fans. But, you know, so it's going to be fun to break down this baseball.
It will be, man. Let's start with the wild card rounds. And let's start with last night's game. If you listen to this, it's Tuesday morning. The game's about to kick off. But the last game we had was game three between the Padres and the Mets. You could say that you've seen this for the Mets coming, but this is a really good Mets team. And it's shocking that a team that had a 10.5 game lead in the division cratered down the stretch and then can't get out of a divisional round. And that's with your $50 million. $50 million! in Max Scherzer. DeGrom pitched wonderfully, but once you get past that, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, last night was one of those situations where, and even in the group chat, I think, Mike, you said you was going with the Mets, right? And I was like, I could see them winning, but it's just something about the Mets and, like, fucking up that goes hand in hand. So I couldn't 100% get on it. And then, like, Musgrove, he's had a good year, but I didn't think he was going to, like, deal like he did last night. The whole thing of them checking his ear, you know, and that just kind of, like, took it to another level. He was talking shit after that. He basically called them pussy. You know, Manny was talking shit. And, like, after that point, you know, the Padres, there was no letting back for them right there.
No, that was it. That was it. They didn't let up, man. And I was curious to see what type of performance they got out of Musgrove. You know, he was a young pup with the Astros back in 17 when he came up. So, you know, getting the start in a do or die game, he's actually the first pitcher in Major League Baseball history to win a go home series, pitching 7 innings and allowing 2 hits or less. The first ever.
That's so, wild stat.
You know, he did his thing against a hundred win team. You know, how perfect was that, though, for the Mets? For the Mets collapse, just to cap it off, you blow a 10.5 game lead in the division, Scherzer gets rocked, and in a do-or-die game at the crib, you get one hit.
It's crazy. And, you know, like, I was the one last time we spoke saying, you know, it ain't really a collapse. You know, the Braves took it, but, like, now you can call it a collapse. Like, for you to be in this position, 100-win team, like, it's unfortunate if you make the wild card, but you supposed to stump these niggas out. They should have went 2-0. Yeah. Like, you throw your ace, throw a guy you've invested this much money in, and that doesn't come through, and then your bats go completely cold. Like, the Mets really have to go back to the drawing board this offseason, because, you can't bring the same team back. And I know it's people can say, how can you say that about a 100-win ball club? But, I mean, when you lose it like this, it's like, no, we definitely got to do some reshuffling.
No, for sure. And Buck Showalter, I mean, he was kind of talking spicy, like, oh, we might not even throw DeGrom, you know, we might throw Bassett game two if we win game one. And, I think the Padres took that as disrespect. And, I mean, yeah, they're a West Coast team, you know, for the majority of us in the Midwest, East Coast, unless you follow, you know, baseball, you really don't know a Joe Musgrove. You really don't. You might have not really saw that much of, you know, Blake Snell, aside from, you know, his stint with the Rays. But that's a good rotation when you're going, you know, in a three-game series, in a short series, you're throwing Yu Darvish and his six pitches. You're throwing Blake Snell and his elevated fastball and that slider. And then you got Joe Musgrove, you know, who he's pitching for the hometown club. So you knew he was coming in, a, you know, extra hype.
And I think just in general with, like, how the Padres are, like you say, I won't say, like, they're underrated or anything like that, but I feel like, you know, with Juan Soto, after the Juan Soto trade, I feel like all the eyes were on them. And I don't think they played to the level that most people thought they were going to play right off the bat. So I kind of feel like a lot of people was just like, oh, whatever, they're going home in the first round. The Mets have done this. The Mets have home field. And they paid for all this money. And, like, even just on the – I originally picked the Mets in three because the Scherzer, DeGrom 1-2 type of thing. But the issue here was also just the offense too. Like, you know, outside of game one, well, actually the whole series, they didn't do that well. You know what I'm saying? Like, they almost jagged it in game two. No, that was the tying run was aboard at the end of game two. And it's just like, it shows that just how quickly that shit can change. Like, you just 100 games, like, they were on cruise control majority of the season. I had Mets fans talking shit and all that. And I was just like, from experience, as a fan of a team that talks a lot of shit that their ass can't back up, you might want to pipe down.
I've given the New York Mets a new nickname over the last couple months, and that's the New York Mets Sox. Because everything that has transpired over the last couple months has felt very White Soxian of the New York Mets. And then to see them really fuck up a division lead like that, I mean, at least the White Sox might have just led on to it or not made the playoffs entirely. You won 100 games, and you still got the opportunity. That's why I love this system, and I love how it is now, is that if you don't have a top two seed, who cares if you don't win the division? Mm-hmm. And winning the division matters that much more because now a team like the Mets has to go play the next best wild card team instead of winning the division, taking care of business. And now, I still don't understand the seeding, but now you've got a leg on a couple teams who have had to keep playing.
And some teams that, like, for example, the Padres, they've been out of the division since July. So now you're going up against a team that are in the wild card, that are clearly fighting for the wild card, that have made additions to their roster. I love this new format just because it's bring your best three, and I'm gonna bring my best three.
If you're the Mets, if you win the division, you take care of business, you're playing the Phillies right now. You destroyed the Phillies during the regular season. And that should be an instant end to the NLCS. You fumbled away your bag. And that's the sickening part about it. But you know what? There is one good thing about it. There's one good thing. And is that we no longer have to hear that god fucking awful trumpet song. Ever again, probably, because he'll take his money from whoever. Maybe the Mets and what's the name throws in the bag. Maybe he goes somewhere else. But he's going to do it. He's going to get a couple times to shine in, like, April. And once he starts having problems, we ain't never going to hear that shit again. I am thankful for the San Diego Padres for doing the Lord's work and snuffing out the New York Mets. Appreciate you.
Definitely. And then just one thing I do love about the wild card, too, is, like, home field, like, it, as you can see, it don't matter. Like, only one home team won, and that was Cleveland. Like, everybody else who had home field lost. And like you said, Piers, it puts more of an emphasis on the regular season. And not just winning your division, you want to have one of the top two records in the conference. You know what I'm saying? Because you can still win your division. Even though Cleveland won, they still host the wild card series. Like, you want to get one of the top two sees you can take the first weekend off, and it really just puts more importance onto it. I saw a lot of people like, well, it's too many teams. I'm like, well, this shit shows you that this is why it needs to go down.
You get
go ahead. And three of the series that were won were by the road team, you know. Yeah. So for a team like the Mariners, a team like the Padres, getting that, like, you know, the Padres getting that taste of the postseason this year and kind of playing, You could kind of play loose because you're not at home, you know, like, you're not disappointing your fans or whatnot. You just, hey, it's us against them. Everybody in the stadium is against us. Let's rock. And I mean, that was huge. Like, you know, we're going to get into that Mariners game, but that shit was crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, this puts not just an emphasis on winning your division and making sure that you get one of those top two seeds, but if it's July, Jesus Christ.
July.
if it's July and you're just hanging on the fringes, you might not feel like you're a championship team. Puts more emphasis on going out there and making a shot for it than going for a run. And making a push to try to get one of that five or six seed to make it as a wild card, because you never know. And those two teams that made it out of the National League are indicative of that, in the Padres going out and making the trade for Juan Soto, and the Phillies, as we move to the other game, making the move, was it middle of May, early June, when everyone under the sun knew Joe Girardi wasn't working. They kicked him out. They reached from within. And now we got bench coach Rob Thompson getting the approved deal for next year. And this team has been one of the hottest teams, the best teams in baseball since June, really. So, again, it puts extra emphasis on that. And, you know, the team that they're getting ready to play, we'll talk about it later on. But I think what we saw the Phillies, of course, like, they were inept offensively for those first eight innings. But all that matters is they got the runs in the ninth. And then all you needed was two runs in game two, because you had the plan of Wheeler going game one, locking it down, Nola going game two, and it worked. The Cardinals could do nothing with it, and the Phillies ran through St. Louis.
Yeah, and that's why I originally, like, when I did on I'm not going to hold you last week, I picked the Cardinals. But then we did wild card, and I started thinking about it. I was like, nah, man, I really just don't like that them pitching matchups. And then, like, I switched the last week. I'm glad I did that, because they just looked like they were outmatched. You know, both pitch performances that they had from Wheeler and Nola, they were just, like, great. And Jose Quintana actually did much better than I thought he was going to do.
Quintana shot the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
Nobody expected Quintana to be that nice.
Yeah, he had a great game. They just jagged at the end. And once you jag a home game like that in a very short series, ain't no coming back from that. And the what's called America's best baseball fan base left early in the ninth inning. They didn't even want to see the rest of the shit, which is pathetic.
After that blow, that shit game one, and they blew it, I was working, and I saw some of the most butthurt shit after a playoff loss from the best fans in baseball. And it made me very happy that not only did the best fans in baseball lose that series in embarrassing fashion like they did it to a team and they did it to a fan base like Philadelphia and like the Phillies, a team that's going to catch a fly ball, turn around and throw a fucking middle finger in your face because you deserve it. So I'm thrilled that that just happened to be the Phillies.
Somebody want to go? No.
Yeah, bro. I think me and Mikey both picked the Phillies to win this series. And like, there's down the stretch, St. Louis is pitching. It's like completely fell apart. And you know, going into the playoffs, that's something that you was gonna need. And so, you know, despite all of all the theatrics around Albert Pujols, I've been joking with Mikey about this. I think he's definitely on the dope.
Can we? Is it time to start the dialogue? Because we need to drug test this nigga since the All-Star game.
you are right on, spot on, bro. Like this late season, you know, comeback just for the, like, okay, it's cool, but all right.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Yeah, we get what that was.
You can fool a real nigga. You can fool them.
And it's like, you know, you had Goldschmidt, you know, in the MVP conversation for the majority of the year, but just, it's like this team just went bad at the worst possible time. And so once we saw the matchup and, you know, you saw the way the Phillies have been playing, I was like, nah, Philly got this.
Yeah.
And that's baseball. And that's the cruel sport that, you know, that baseball is. Goldschmidt and Arenado are going to be about top three, probably both of them top five in NL MVP. And they had one hit combined. Amongst the two of them, you know, at home in the playoff series. So, you know, me and Dante, we both picked the Phillies because I love that short matchup where you can just throw your two aces. And Wheeler and Nola can eat innings. You know, the Phillies pen, for the most part, was shaky, but I feel like they've kind of figured it out. And when you can throw a Nola and you can throw a Wheeler seven innings, Like, you know, that's all you need right there. I mean, that first game, that comeback, I think there was some negligence on the Cardinals manager leaving in that closing. He clearly wasn't right. He left them in a little too long.
Put it in a long relief guy like Pallante.
Yeah, it could have brought. Yeah. Exactly.
With that.
Exactly. They made their own bet with that. And you know, that's just experience for them in their first time in a shortened three game wild card series. So that's just the beauty of baseball, man. I really do love the Phillies, man. I did pick the Braves to go back to back, but I'm liking the way this matchup is. It's going to be a nice matchup, man.
It will, division, man. We'll talk about the division series in a little bit, but
well, I just wanted to say this with because three out of the four division series are actual division rivals. Mm-hmm. I feel like in the playoffs, when you're going up against a team you know so well, you just got to, like, throw stats out the window because, like, anything can fucking happen. And I think that's, like, the big intrigue with this one.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's the beautiful thing about baseball, as you said, you know, that a team like the St. Louis Cardinals that has gotten so much pomp and circumstance and love and just, you know, circle-jerking all season can go down in two games, in flames, the way it has. The fact that we can never talk about Yadier Molina, quote-unquote future Hall of Famer, ever again. The fact that we can never talk about Albert Pujols in his 700 home run race. I am just distraught that we will never talk about it ever again. The fact that Adam Wainwright in his 88-mile-per-hour fastball is going to go home and be a family man. I am just poured over with emotion that we will never talk about them and the St. Louis Cardinals ever again. Goodness, I am a Pujols. Is going to run the NL Central next year.
I am a Pujols guy. I don't fuck with Wainwright and Molina, but I am a Pujols guy. Molina's just like one of them niggas you just won't slap. I don't know. He just got slapable ass face. Like,
yeah. I fuck with Yachty. That's my cousin, man. I don't fuck with Wainwright. I don't fuck with Wainwright.
Yeah, Pujols is my guy. Pujols is also when people say, "Oh, you gonna get back what you throw out." That's cap. You really don't look at that nigga career. He's a piece of shit. But look at that nigga career.
Yeah.
Let's move over to the American League side. Explain to me how the Blue Jays bottled that. I was getting ready to go to Extreme Rules, and I was having a good old fucking time, and I saw the Mariners actually put up, what was it, 2 runs at the time to make it like a 5-run game. And I'm like, oh, you know, it's cute. It'll be a nice game 3 tomorrow. Nah, man.
I took a nap.
Toronto.
I took a nap when they went up like 8-1. And I was like, oh, yeah, this shit is up. Well, I woke up and it said 9-9. I was like, what the fuck happened? Like, all I saw was Springer on the floor, and I hope he gets better, but Springer on the floor and the score tied. And, like, the fucked up shit was, like, everybody was, like, trying to tend to him, and these niggas like, keep running, fuck that nigga. And it was, like, the whole little shit.
I started watching college football, and I just put the alert on ESPN, like, alert me if they score. And then Hens texts me. I got the alert. Then Hens texts me. He's like, oh, no, we got a game. He sent me the eyes after Santana hit that 3-run homer. And I was like, You know, I had said it with Toronto, man. Toronto had all the pressure on them. They are Chicago White Sox East going into this season.
They 1,000% are.
They are.
I'm saying that in a good way, not a bad.
Correct. All the talent. They, you know, but they were talking, and this was their year. This was their 2021 for the White Sox going up against the Astros. And, you know, I think Sky had said that he thought the manager was going to get up out of there, that they were just happy to be there. And I said, nah, you got the wrong ones. Them boys are ready to play. And they went all in with Luis Castillo, and that shit paid off, man.
I don't even know who their manager is because they fired their manager midseason.
Scott Service.
Yeah, Scott Service.
No, not Seattle. I'm talking about Toronto.
Yeah, is it Schneider or something? Schneider or something? I don't even know. Whatever. I think they're bringing him back. Yeah, they fired Charlie Montoya, and I think
Charlie Montoya is playing the Maracas somewhere else.
No, they're actually bringing him back, though. They're actually bringing back the dude for the Blue Jays again.
Yeah, Mikey, you called this one because I know I expected Toronto to, like I said, live up to expectations because, you know, preseason, people were calling for them to win that. Not only win the AL East, but win the entire American League.
Don't forget what Vladdy said. Last year was a trailer. This year will be the movie.
That went straight to streaming, nigga. The shit talking was at an all-time high.
They didn't make the playoffs last year.
Yeah, exactly. Just, you know, young niggas talking. Like, that's usually how it goes. It's like oversell and underdeliver. And that's what the Blue Jays have done so far. But you got to shout out Seattle, man. Like we said, we talked about the longest playoff drought in North American sports history. They broke that, and now they're firmly in the playoffs. So, you know, a lot of times we shit on the wild card. But they are now in the division series. I think it's going to be really dope. Like you said, Mikey, they went all in with Luis Castillo. And I think, like we saw with the Braves last year, when teams who are on the brink make certain moves, like to show you, like, nah, we trying to go for it. Like, that's a move for a guy that's like, you know, he's like you said, he's been dealing the last couple years. So adding that to a young, hungry team, that was a great move. So like, it's gonna be dope seeing what Seattle does.
They got young.
I was gonna say two teams. The two longest droughts snapped in the same year, and now they're both in the division series. You know, it's gonna be fun to see. When there's finally home games in Philly and there's finally home games in Seattle, and God forbid they keep going, because both fan bases have been hungry for it. They've been waiting, and they got good opponents. Like we talking about, like it's gonna be rocking to see Seattle. And then like we've been talking like for the last couple years, Seattle's one of the blackest teams, if not the blackest team in baseball.
In baseball,
you know, so to see them make it to this level and to be this fun and be this good. It's really a dope team. You know, we remember, you know, Seattle for having that fun team with Griffey and A-Rod and Randy Johnson. And you know, this isn't like that, but it is cool to see that brand finally in that limelight again in October and in a big series. So, you know, we'll see if they got it.
No, definitely.
That's just what I'm saying, Mike.
Well, definitely. I mean, and it's – the two teams, you know, the Phillies and Mariners, I mean, they went out and they made moves this offseason.
Yep.
You know, they had some pressure and they went and made moves. They spent money. I mean, they went in prior Robbie Ray from Toronto. You know, he won the Cy Young, they went in prior to him. You know, like, that's making an investment. You get in a Eugenio Suarez to play third base, you add that power back. Yeah. You know, you don't fuck around with your young prospect and Julio Rodriguez, and you let him play and you let him take his lumps and you let him go out there and see what he could do.
Yeah.
And then you say, you know what? I think we could go ahead in this wild card spot. The trade
for Luis Castillo.
They gave up a lot, but you know what? It doesn't matter because now people are going to want to go play in Seattle. You got that anchor. And then they developed young arms, Logan Gilbert, George Kirby. I mean, their pen is nasty. Like, that's a fun team, man. That's going to be a very fun series, an interesting series, because they, you know, like the Phillies, there's a lot of comparisons, a lot of parallels, though, because they're playing opponents that they're very familiar with.
I picked the Blue Jays because I did think that, you know, maybe and these are two young ass teams, obviously, so it shouldn't have been like that big of a factor, but I just felt like home field, I felt like maybe the Mariners would be a little bit more overwhelmed, and I just expected way more than what I got from the Blue Jays. Like, even though the division ran away from them very early because the Yankees got on such a hot streak, they weren't a bad team this year, and I just felt like that'd be something to carry into it. And the Mariners came in there, which I love. The Mariners was like, yo, fuck the future. Let's go get this shit right now, which is why I like in baseball. That's how really in sports, that's how it should be. But in baseball, that's how it really should be. Like, I'm going to throw out an 05 quote when Ozzie said, let's not think about next year. Let's just do it now. You know, let's just do this shit now. And that's pretty much what I love from the Mariners. And yeah, we'll get into the preview of the Astros series in a minute, but I don't think these kids got any fear whatsoever. And I think that can help them long term.
To be honest with you, I don't think any of the underdog teams in these series have reason to fear who they're playing.
Mm-mm.
None of them. And
no.
Half of that is because a lot of them are playing divisional opponents. But honestly, you can sit here and say in a short series, all of them have a legit chance.
You're right. You can make the case for all the underdogs. The only ones that have gotten their heads bashed in all year by their opponent is the Padres. The Dodgers have fucking spanked them all year. But the Dodgers can win a short series.
They can win.
Exactly. When you play a short series, like anything can happen.
Yeah.
Let's wrap up with the final series, which won't be too much to talk about outside of the outstanding pitching that we had. But the Guardians swept the Rays, and you had a 2-1 game, game one, and a game that went scoreless into the 15th inning, 14th, 15th, something like that, until Oscar Gonzalez finally won it with the game winner. I've heard a lot of people say the series was shit. I highly disagree. I think we had amazing pitching performances.
Game one was good. Game two, I want somebody to put a butter knife through my eye after like the eighth inning.
After the eighth inning, but whatever, because at this point, like, the stakes are there. So, like, right. I don't give a damn if the offense ain't, because now we're at high-stakes baseball. Like, I think the pitching that you saw, not just game one, Bieber and McClanahan, but then also, what was it, Savale and who's my man from Tampa? That started. I'm blanking on his name, but pitching was excellent. And
you talking about Glass now.
That's right.
And that was on his third start back from fucking Tommy John. You feel me?
So, really impressed me coming back after the injury in the big situation like that. And then the defense was terrific too. Both teams were laying out.
J-Ram, there, so. Dog.
Yeah,
I hate that nigga, but he was showing up, bro. Like, that nigga just, like, calmly whoops your ass. And he just got, like, the one thing about Ramirez, he got timely plays. Like, his great throws always come when you need them. His big hits always come when you need them. Like, game one, nobody, you know, they're not having any any scoring going on. Big two-run home run. And that changes the course of the game. He is the definition of clutch, and even though this team can't, it's terrible offensively, he's a guy that you know that if you got a runner or two on, he can get this shit popping, and you can get some, you can be in a hole real quick.
Yeah, and I respect any nigga who wears a chain that has
of himself him wearing a chain.
That's my kind of guy right there. Like, I like that.
That's very live. Yeah, I mean, I didn't really too much to take away from this series other than.
Oh, like, wait, hold on. We got to shout out Tristan.
Tristan started game two. My fault.
Of the Cleveland Indians. Like, he has all the potential to be great. Mm-hmm. He just hasn't put it all together. Like, the stuff
he's going to put on a little bit of more muscle. If you put on a little bit more muscle, he's going to be outstanding. Like, no legit. Yeah. Like, he's going to be a crazy ass pitcher.
He's going to be a household name this series, bro, because I promise you, he's probably going to get about 9 to 10 Ks against the Yankees, man. The way they strike out, trust me, Tristan is going to be a household name. But it was great pitching, great defense on both sides. And then, you know, when a runner got on, they were cut down on the base pass. Like, it was, you know, Scott said it, this isn't good pitching, this is bad offense. I mean, that's what good pitching does. It nullifies offense, and it
makes. Yeah, but that shit looks. I definitely give you come from, but it's like, nigga, wasn't it like 4 hits in like the 12th inning total? And I love good pitching, but I was just like, man, in this shit now. Like, I was just. And then the thing that pissed me off the most was I switched from the channel for a minute, and when I come back, niggas running base. I'm like, so I just watched the whole motherfucking game, and then I missed the walk off.
I mean, bro, Tampa scored one run in 24 innings, so like it was tough.
It's nasty.
It was tough. A home run. It was a solo shot. The best players couldn't really do anything.
And on the He Gone Pod, when we when we previewed it, we said this gonna take the under every single game. This is gonna be a low scoring because that's how those offenses are. And you know, I said at the end of the day, I watched, you know, being that the Guardians are in the division, I've watched enough Guardian games to know. They clutch and they'll find a way to scratch across some runs. But you know, that's a, like you said, Scott, that's a testament to their leader, Jose Ramirez. I mean, they cut down on payroll, they traded for, you know, Frankie Lindor, they let people go, they cut out the bad apples, Trevor Bauer, piece of shit. You know, Mike Clevenger, they sold the lemon to the Padres for a year.
Got like, rid of the racist name.
Got rid of and training
camp. Got rid of.
In training camp, Tito went up to Jose Ramirez and told him, listen, like, we don't have home run hitters. We don't, you know, we're the youngest team in the league, but I need you to play hard, hustle, and lead by example. And that worked out perfectly because that's who Jose Ramirez is. So, I mean, yeah, he's in our division, and he's probably the most hated person in the division because he smokes us every time. But I love the way he plays the game, man.
I mean, it's a difference, like, to me, just for me personally, and we can move on in a second. Like, I hate him because he kicks our ass. Like, it's not like I hate him like I hate Aaron Rodgers or how I hated Justin Morneau and fucking Joe Mauer. Bro, oh my
Joe Mauer.
God,
Joe Mauer was cold. Joe
Mauer was cold. I see Denard's fan now. It's on site. Like, that's a different kind of hate. You know what I'm saying? So it's just more of them. Damn, he always kick our ass. And we got to give some love to Tito too. As White Sox fan, we talk about well coached. That's a well coached baseball team.
This is the youngest team in baseball, and they will not only win their division, fight up and win their division in the face of nobody believing them, but then, you know, to go and beat a team that a lot of people are all like, oh, the Rays can be a dark horse. Nah, one run in two games. One run in, what was it, 24 or 34 innings, 24 innings, whatever they played. Yeah. It's insane. So we can talk about the ALDS. We can start with that Guardians and Yankees series. I love the fact that, like, yeah, you got your three division matchups, and then one non-division matchup is, you know, kind of like a classic 90s playoff series with the Guardians and Yankees with Cleveland and New York. This is going to be interesting. Cleveland will go Cal Quantrill game one, and the Yankees will counter with Gerrit Cole. We'll get Shane.
Cole been getting his tits lit this year, so I'm like kind of concerned right now. Like,
we kind of know sometimes Gerrit Cole could be shaky in the playoffs. Game two is going to be Shane Bieber and Nestor Cortez, and we'll see Tristan McKenzie on the mound against Luis Severino in game three. Where you guys see this going?
For me, I feel like if the Yankees, now this thing, and me and Mike, you was talking about this in the group chat, and I was like, the Yankees should smoke these niggas. Like, if they play their game, they should smoke these niggas just because they can score. Even if Cole is out there and he is shaking, maybe he does give up three runs. I believe this team can go out there and put up five or six if they're not on their bullshit. And for me, this is a make or break year for the Yankees. Like, this is a very pivotal time for the Yankee organization. Not only, of course, the big elephant in the room, if you play with Aaron Judge, face all goddamn winter, and now you're going to have to pay the five, or if not, watch him leave to go to another team, and you better hope that other team ain't in your same fucking city, or worse, your blood rival in the Boston Red Sox. So you got that on top of it now. You got Aaron Boone, who is, in my opinion, one of the worst managers in baseball. He just got a great fucking lineup. And it's right now, it's like, it's time to shit it, get off the pot. How many times we've heard Yankees fans say, well, if it wasn't for the Astros, we'd had this. Well, now is your time. And they have not played well since All-Star break. I think they were a 500 team in the second half of the season. This is your time. You have the MVP. You have home field advantage. Go into it. Now, the Guardians are a team where there's no pressure for them. Like you said, they're the youngest team in baseball. They're going up a team that everybody's going to be picking the Yankees. They're pitching. If they can get the Yankees to play Cleveland Guardian-style baseball, a low-scoring game, you know, in between a two-three-run type game, and keep the pitching where it is and have the Yankees struggle, then they can get them. But that's more to me. This is more about what the Yankees don't do more than what the Guardians do well. So I feel like if the Yankees play their game, I'm going to say Yankees in three just because I don't fully trust that they will play that game. And also, I saw that they don't know about DJ LeMahieu's status for this series either. I just saw on ESPN. So.
Despite the injuries, you're going Yankees into sweep?
No. Oh, this is best out of five. My bad. Yeah. No, Yankees in four then. I'm still thinking wild card. Wow. I'll say Yankees in four is what I'll go.
I'm going Yankees in four as well, but it really all depends on which Yankees lineup shows up. Like Mikey said, the Yankees go cold a lot. Like, and if they come out the way that we know the Guardians can pitch, that can make it an interesting series. So, like, for right now, I do think they'll be able to put up some runs. And like you said, Gerrit Cole gets rocked every playoffs. So, you know, kind of since he's gotten to the Bronx. So that's something that to definitely keep an eye on because, you know, they're another team that we talked about fumbling it down the stretch and, you know, not really, you know, keeping up the momentum they have from earlier in the season. So, I know Aaron Judge, you know, everybody was on that story. And, you know, now with him having the time off, seeing how he jumps back in there, like, you know, is he going, you know, has he lost that rhythm that he was in? So, you know, that matters too. So we're going to see. But like you said, he is going to definitely get his bag after, you know, betting on himself, a la Jimmy Butler, definitely paid off. But depending on which lineup shows up, I think we can go Yankees in four is a solid pick.
Yeah. part of me wants to take this Yankees in five because I feel like the Cleveland pitching staff can neutralize this lineup. I mean, the Yankees led the majors this year in walks and in home runs. They probably will throw Kyle game four, but Shane, Tristan, and Kyle specialize in limiting that. They limit their walks and they don't give up the home run. I think, especially the way this series lines up, they play tomorrow, they play Tuesday, they play Thursday and Saturday. That Wednesday, getting that Wednesday game and that Friday game off allows Tito Francona some wiggle room with Emmanuel Clase and Karinchak in the lineup if it's close. So, I mean, that Yankees lineup, I text y'all. Y'all know I gamble every single day. How many times do I text y'all? I feel like twice a week the Yankees are being no hit.
Yeah, multiple times.
into the seventh or the eighth, the Yankees have no hits and are doing nothing. So I'm gonna ride with the Yankees in five, man.
I'm gonna ride with the Yankees in five as well, but this is gonna follow a theme that I have for a lot of series, and that Yankees want to win game one. You got your ace on the mound going up against their number three. You know that you can handle their number three. Go out and win the ball game. And then that gives you a little bit of cover if you run into Shane Bieber game two and you're just not as popular. You're not as good. You're not able to hit the ball. That gives you a little bit able to cushion. They want to win this ball game one, because the Guardians, I do think, are able to keep the Yankees hitting at bay. Aaron Judge might be able to go off and do what he needs to do, but the rest of the Yankees can struggle at times. And I think this Guardians team is a team that's built on timely hitting and strong pitching. And Yankees want to at least get this. They want to get this. I'm gonna say it's gonna go five. Hold on, real quick. I'm gonna say it's gonna go five, just because I believe that the Guardians will push it there, and I can't see the Yankees losing to do without game five Sunday night in the Bronx. It's impossible. But Yankees are gonna want to win game one and gonna want to snuff out the Guardians early.
Yeah, for sure. And it's gonna be a tough game one just because of the type of pitcher Gerrit Cole is. Gerrit Cole doesn't pitch the contact. Gerrit Cole pitches to swing and miss, and the Cleveland Guardians do not strike out. Nope. So, you know, I think they're 29th in the league in strikeouts.
Bro, they fight every pitch, bro.
Yeah. So, and the last few starts, if I'm not mistaken, Gerrit Cole's pitch count has gotten up pretty high by the fourth, fifth inning. So, it's going to be a tough game one, man, for them, for sure.
Yep. Game two in the ALDS, or series number two in the ALDS. The Mariners taking on the Astros. I actually do not have the splits up right now, but I'll look to find them. Who you got?
Whew, this is going to be an entertaining series, just because you got a team in the Astros, and I don't care about the cheating shit. I never cared about the cheating shit. I like how they've put together the system they have. They've been the dominant force in the American League for about 5 to 6 seasons now, and it doesn't really matter who leaves. You can have a George Springer leave. You can have a Gerrit Cole leave. You can have a Carlos Correa leave. It's like they've always got somebody else to plug back in that position. Before you know it, look, they're back in the World Series. Now, they haven't won one since 2017, but they've been in two. I think it's two, right? They lost two. They lost to the Nationals and last year to the Braves.
They've been in the ALCS for the last six years.
Like, that's a stretch of just – league dominance from the American League. So they are the gold standard. They are what Yankee fans think that they still are, but they're not. This is who the Astros are. And you got the up-and-coming team.
What? I understand what you're saying, but, like, let's just say they were what the Boston Red Sox used to be.
No, I said that's what Yankee fans think they are.
I know.
I'm not saying that's fact. But Yankee fans, I'm saying this is what Yankee fans think.
Act like they won the World Series the last
I'm not disputing you. I'm just saying, like.
No, I'm with you. You're speaking logically. I'm talking about what these niggas think they are. If you talk to any Yankee fan, they keep thinking like last time they didn't win was Obama's last person in office. So this is what they think. But they are the gold standard of the American League, and you got this up and coming team in the Mariners. And even though I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm pretty sure that the the Astros had a pretty good record against the Mariners. Oh, I could be wrong. They smoked them from last time I checked.
Yeah, I think it was I think they won 12 out of the 19 games they played.
Okay. Yeah, so that's dominant. So it's like it's kind of like the Dodgers Padres is a little bit where it's like if you look at the numbers, yeah, they should get take care of them. But is it something about this Mariner team that I just like their fight? And I don't like their fight enough to push it to a full five games. But I'm gonna give them one and at least a scare where it looked like this could go into a deciding game. But I'm gonna straight say Astros in four. I think you have Verlander, who is going to be the Cy Young. That's a great way to start. You get that game right away, put the pressure on them, but they need to take those first two games. Now, of course, the Astros can win on the road. That's not a problem for them. But game three, I believe, is gonna be one of the most crazy crowds we've seen in sports in an extremely long time. So if they're coming into that game and it's a 1-1 series, that's some shit you don't want to play with, in my personal opinion, with a team that ain't got nothing to lose. So, but I do think that the pitching and the experience is what's going to take the Astros over time. Also, that niggas is just clutch at the end of the day. That's what they do, too. A very clutch team. They don't die, especially in the fucking playoffs. It's going to be interesting to see how they're going to be without Carlos Correa in the first playoffs, because Carlos Correa was one of their best postseason guys. So, mm-hmm. I think that's going to be something to see how that's going to match up with. But overall, I'll take Astros in four.
It was a 12-7 record in favor of the Astros in the regular season. Game one's Logan Gilbert against Justin Verlander, your likely American League Cy Young Award winner. Game two and three are TBD. So
I got Astros in three. I think the veterans
with the Mariner hat on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you know it's a cool story. You know, shout out to breaking the streak. But no, I think this is where the veteran team overtakes them and just take care of business. Like you said, you got Jason Verlander going game one. I pulled it up real quick. He's 5-3 for the Astros at home in the postseason. So, you know, he's actually lost his last two starts at home. But I do think, like you said, coming off the season he's having, he's going to come out and dominate game one and really set the tone for the Astros. And, you know, I do think it's going to be a rematch of last season and Dusty's boys are going to go down. But I think they will take care of business in this series.
Yeah, I'm riding with the Astros in four. I'm going to give the Mariners one just off the strength. I don't think they might necessarily be blowouts. I think they all might be very close games. But at the end of the day, there are no holes in this Astros roster. They play good defense. They're pitching rotation. I mean, we know that they're going to throw out Verlander game one, and then they can go a bevy of ways from there on. You could go Lance McCullers. You could go Framber. Yeah. You could go Jose Urquidy. You know, you could throw Luis Garcia. It doesn't matter. You know, I just think that they have the – they play, you know, the right way. I think the Mariners are going to run into kind of like that buzzsaw – little brother moment. They might flash here and there, but I got them going at four. From what I was reading online earlier, some Mariners beat writers are saying that it more than likely will be Luis Castillo game two. Selfishly, because of what you said, Scott, I would love to see him pitch that game three in Seattle with that fucking home crowd. Because yeah. I know it would be electric. But that's the game I got them winning. I got them winning the Luis Castillo game. We already know that the Astros have the advantage game one with Justin Verlander. Game two will go to Castillo. The bullpens are fairly equal. The Mariners have some nasty fucking guys in the pen. When you could throw out Matt Brash, you could throw out Munoz, you got Seawald. But I think at the end of the day, the Astros have been there before, and, you know, they're on a mission to link back up in the World Series, whether it be against the Dodgers or the Braves.
Yeah.
I'm also going to go with the Astros in four. They've only swept one team, and that was Cleveland. I believe that was, back in 2019?
That was the year they won, wasn't it? That was 2019.
I think this is when they swept Cleveland. So they're not, you know, they're not a team that's known to just go out and flat out dominate a team in a playoff series, or at least a five game playoff series. I do think a playoff, you know, it's very similar to that win that
that third playoff game, kind of like how the White Sox did last year, and then they'll get sunned in game four. The Astros will take care of business. But, you know, like you were saying, rotationally, when you're able to go Verlander game one, you know that's your game one. And then, you know, to have the luxury of your Keedy. I haven't seen McCullers in a minute, but I believe, yeah, McCullers is still that. You know, Garcia and then Framber Valdez. And Framber Valdez, if Verlander ain't there, might end up being your ace next year. They're in a really good position pitching-wise. I also love the trade that they made with the Braves at the deadline. They had a surplus of starters, and they traded Odorizzi to go get Will Smith. And that's really what they've been missing is a lefty in a bullpen. And yeah, him having that World Series pedigree is big. So, yeah, I think the Mariners will just wind up being overmatched at the end of the day. So I'm gonna go ahead and take the Astros. All right, let's go over to the National League. Let's start out east. It's the first game today. 1 o'clock starts. Get everything you need and get up and get watching baseball, baby. Playoffs. Yeah, fucking baseball. Seven, nigga. I love it. Well, last week it was 9. So
yeah, I didn't watch like a lot of both Cleveland games. I didn't tune into like the 5th inning. I was like, I'm not waking up that damn early. Like, I want to see this series. I'm gonna have to wake early so I can go to the gym early so I can.
That first game went by quick. That first game went by super.
Yeah,
quick.
That was a. Yeah. They were saving time for the next day.
Right.
Pitch, give it back. Pitch. They were already playing as if they had the pitch clock going.
Yeah.
And Dante will be on the soil.
I just want to say, we'll be in the building for game one and two at Truist Park. So looking forward to that, bro. It's gonna be dope.
Yeah, and I will be in the bars for games, whichever.
With the fightings.
With the fightings. This is a very interesting series. Braves won the season series, but, you know, these teams are very evenly matched. And, you know, you got a defending champion. You got a team that had to, you know, really fight to make their way into the postseason. They've been very good so far. Where you got this one?
I'm going to go I think this is going to 4-5, man. I really like Philly. I really like, you know, and I love Atlanta, too. I wouldn't be shocked if Atlanta goes back-to-back, be the first back-to-back we have in, what, 22 years. But Philly, man, they riding the wave right now. I liked what they got from the pitching. The offense is good. Bryce looked like he's starting to get his timing back from the shoulder. You know, Schwarber had a good year. And I think that they'll be able to, you know, score enough runs for it to be a very competitive series. And it's division matching. When you got these division rivals, like, it's I'm waiting for a lot of stupid finish alerts in these two NL series, man. So I'm going to go Braves in 5. I think the home field advantage, I think them being the champions, and I just love their team a little bit more than I like the Phillies. But I definitely don't think it's going to be one of them things. They're just going to go ahead and smack them like they did in the regular season.
Rangers Suarez and Max Fried got game one. The Braves have not announced their game, their starts the rest of the series. But we already know the Phillies are going to go with Zach Wheeler in game two and Aaron Nola in game three when he touched down back in Philly. So,
yeah, for sure. I think it only makes sense for the Braves to go Kyle Wright game two. I mean, that's just game winner. You're throwing out in game one and game two. You're throwing out Max Fried, Kyle Wright. That's 35 combined wins right there. I'm going to ride with the Braves in 4. I think it is imperative to win game one against Ranger Suarez. Ranger Suarez against them in September actually pitched very well in 12 innings. And they were back. They were consecutive starts for him in 12 innings against the Braves. He allowed 7 hits and only 1 run. The Phillies actually won one of those games, and then the other game their bullpen tricked it off. But I think it's all dependent on. It's not really all dependent, but I mean, this could be over quickly in 3 if Spencer Strider can pitch. Yeah. The Braves have the pitching advantage in a minimum 3 of the 5 games going out there. And you can go either way. You can go, you know, they're probably going to go Max Fried, Kyle Wright, and then you go Charlie Morton or Spencer Strider, and you probably could use Spencer Strider as an opener. I know he's dealing with an oblique injury, and, you know, as we saw with Max Scherzer, those can be a little tricky, especially for guys that have high K rates. But I picked the Braves to win it all, and I think the Phillies are gonna live up to their nickname and put up a fight. But I got the Braves in 4.
Yeah, I agree with Mikey. I got the Braves in four. You know, Max Fried is 8-4 at home this season, you know, with a 2.42 ERA. So, like, I don't expect him to give up a lot of runs. Expect him to come out and really set the tone. He's been one of their vets, you know, another guy that's been here with the team. And, you know, we talk about the success they had last year without Acuna, without a Michael Harris, the second, who's been a key contributor since he got called up. You know, he might win NL Rookie of the Year, and, you know, he missed – he got caught up, like, I think, like, game 48, some shit like that. So he still missed a solid part of the season and was able to contribute in a major way for the Braves. And I agree. I think they'll just be too much for Philly. They will. Philly's definitely going to fight. You got MVP and Bryce Harper. You got Kyle Schwarber, you know, World Series experience. And a very solid pitching staff. But I think at the end of the day, the Braves are going to come out and take care of business. And I have Braves in four.
I don't think it's that so easy. I don't think it's that so easy with the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah.
And I do think that the Phillies have a better rotation right now than the Atlanta Braves. Spencer Strider being hurt is big. I do not believe in Kyle Wright and your 21 wins. That is really great in the regular season. What are you going to be able to do for me in the postseason? We didn't really see – I didn't really like what I saw him out of him last postseason. Your Ian Anderson wasn't good this season. So really, Max Fried, you're going out there game one. Max Fried better dominate, because Max Fried doesn't dominate, and I think he has a good chance to, because, you know, you're going to match up well with Schwarber and with Bryce Harper. You're not really worried about Castellanos right now, because Castellanos, while he has been good, you know, since August, he's not Castellanos the last year in the last couple of years. They want to win game one. If they don't win game one, this could very easily be a sweep, because you run into Zach Wheeler, who has been lights out for the last couple months. You run into Aaron Nola, who's pitching like one of the best pitchers in baseball right now. Yeah, you won a championship last year, but a lot of those guys, those key contributors, aren't there. So I don't think that the Braves, if this is all shut and close, or I don't think this is a shut and close for them. And speaking of close, and I know that sitting here, I've said that, yeah, Kenley Jansen was perfect last postseason. Kenley Jansen ain't been perfect in Atlanta.
Kenley Jansen's never, I mean, outside of last year, Kenley Jansen's a fuck up a great majority of the time.
If they're smart, they throw Raisel Iglesias.
That's if they're smart.
That's if they're
smart. So I do think bullpen-wise, both of them are very even. I like what the Phillies have done. They've moved Zach Eflin to the bullpen. You save your best stuff for that one inning, my friend. That might be all they need. And Jose Alvarado's been very good the last couple of months as well. I'm going to go Phillies in four, because I do think that the Braves take that for game one. Phillies come back and win game two and game three. Who knows what the hell happens in game four? The Phillies are probably going to throw some kind of combination of Bailey Falter, Noah Syndergaard, Kyle Gibson. But we talk about Seattle's home crowd advantage. Philly has not had a playoff home game in 11 years. And it's at a time where the Phillies are in the playoffs, the Eagles are undefeated, the Sixers are really good. This crowd's going to be on fucking fire. And it's not a crowd.
Going out first pitch.
It's not a crowd, Joel Embiid, maybe. It's not a crowd that the Braves have seen in the playoffs. You can tell me whatever you want about Dodger Stadium in the playoffs. I don't know if the Braves have ever seen anything like what Philadelphia is going to be on game three and possibly game four. So I'm going to take the Phillies in four. Don't slip up, Braves. Do not slip up.
I think it's going to be one of them series, man.
It's going to be fun. That's the most fun series on the card. Say whatever you want to about the Padres and the Braves. This is the most fun series on the card.
It's a shame that all these games are in the afternoon.
It is what it is, man. I've seen people complain about it. Like, it is what
I
it
just
is.
Think, but it's I too just much think, TV money like, in it. Yeah, but I mean, like, from what you said, you know, the Phillies, this is a star fan base, you know, and they've invested a lot of money in a lot of players these last few years, and they're playing well. And I feel like the MLB is missing a very big opportunity of throwing a Bryce Harper, a Kyle Schwarber, and then having, you know, a Ronald Acuna and everybody in prime time.
Over the Dodgers? Ha, huh, not on my watch. That's what Memphis
Dodgers
is.
Ain't even going to be in prime time. That's your late.
Dodgers are 9 o'clock. Like,
yeah, that's prime time for us.
Your prime time, technically.
On the best coast, it's prime time. It's prime time for us.
Yeah, but niggas around the world going to be asleep. We going to wake up the next morning like, wait, huh? Who did what to Clayton Kershaw?
Craig Kimbrell blew what?
Hey, that's why everybody be like, man, Lakers come on to like, nah, niggas is just getting off 405 right now. Like, it's
bro, perfect time. That should be 11:30 over here at halftime, bro. I can't deal with that shit.
Yeah. Final series here, we have the Dodgers and the Braves.
Can I just say this before you get into the actual breakdown? As a Los Angeles resident for almost a decade, I want to tell you right now, if you're going to Dodger Stadium for any of these first two games,
Wear a vest.
Okay? Like, when I tell you the amount of fades that's going to be distributed in these crowds, in these first two games, is going to be at a huge level. Now, it's not Giants-Dodgers, but it's still in that same tier of watch where you at. You know, you're going to have these niggas who've been drinking Modelo's for about 4 hours leading up to the game. They're going to be very rowdy. You got Padres fans. They ain't been here in a minute. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be a lot of that going on. I went to a regular season game this year and it was busting. So I'm telling you right now, be prepared if you're going to these games.
Mike Clevenger against Julio Urias, game one. Yu Darvish and Clayton Kershaw, game two. Game three's TBD. So, who you got?
Yeah. I'm going Dodgers in four. I'm going Dodgers in four. I am picking the Dodgers to go all the way this year. I will say that the Padres can make it a series, but I feel like this is going to be a time where the Dodgers – I don't think we're going to see any Dodgers slip-ups this postseason. Now, I understand I'm not saying this with a lot of confidence, but I feel like eventually you just got to shake the smelliness that they had. You know, the Dodgers always, over these last 10 years of dominance in the National League, or at least the National League West, they get this great regular season. They usually always at least get to the NLCS majority of the time, and then they shit on themselves. I don't think that's going to happen this time. I think they're going to make quick work out of the Padres. I think the Padres will get that game three at home because it'll be a nice crowd. The fans will be behind them. I do think it's going to be one of them games they barely win. But I think this Dodgers team is prepared and ready to finally win one. I say finally because I don't validate anything that happened in a bubble in 2020. And finally win this championship. And just also from a petty perspective, I want them to win so it can be the second Los Angeles team to have a fucking parade that's not the Lakers. So I'm going Dodgers in four.
I'm riding with the Padres in four. I'm gonna go with the upset. You have to assume they're gonna throw a Joe Musgrove game three. I'm just going purely off the upset aspect. And I like the way the Padres played this series against the Mets. And I think if they take a similar approach of timely hitting, they played clean defensively, they got on base. When they got on base, they stole bases. And they allowed their guys, their Manny Machado, to go ahead and drive in runs. I think it is going to be a very heated series. But, you know, similar to how Pierce is taking the defending champs, the losing four, I'm going to ride with the drama being on the West Coast game and the West Coast series. And I think the Dodgers losing four. And I think there's going to be that, Clayton Kershaw goodbye moment and tears all around because he might have got lit up. And, it is what it is. That's the series that I'm going to ride with the underdog. And I think the Padres are playing with confidence, man. You can only play with more confidence after you travel east, you beat 102 wins team. You're going up against a familiar foe, you know, and you're playing. You don't have to travel as much, you know. You're right there, still in the same state. So I think that they're gonna make a series out of this, and I got them going in four for the upset.
I definitely think they're making a series. That's why I got Dodgers in five. I agree, they are playing well. They are rolling right now. You got people like Trent Grisham really making an impact on offense, and he didn't do shit all season. So, you're getting timely hitting. You know, we talk about the additions they made. Soto had two RBIs last game. Hader came in, you know, closed it out, shut it down. So, you know, you're seeing the impact of those guys. And so I do think they are going to put up a fight. But I think at the end of the day, the Dodgers are just going to have too much firepower. And, you know, even with the injury to their pitching staff, I think with that lineup, Then you still got Freddie Free locked in. You got Mookie locked in. I think it's gonna be tough, but it's gonna be a fun series. But I got Dodgers in five.
I'm gonna take the Dodgers in four games. I think this is probably the best Dodger team we've seen in this run. Padres are really good. They are gonna fight. I think they will be overmatched. I think they'll get that game three because Musgrove will pitch it. But game one and two, your game one is Clevinger, and you know we don't know what Clevinger is right now. Going up against Urias, who's been strong. You know what Clayton Kershaw can be if in the postseason if he's given a good leash. So I mean, I gotta trust the Dodgers pitching staff, and then you know we know what guys like Mookie and Freddie Freeman are gonna give us. There's no question about that. You know, not just them two, Trey Turner. You have three guys on this squad who have won championships with other teams on yep. top of the dudes who have won championships with your team.
Mm-hmm.
So this really is like, set up perfectly, I think, for the Dodgers because they're not scared of this Padres team. They have no reason to be scared of this Padres team, as good as they are. You know, don't get me wrong. You have no reason to be scared of them. But then, you know, moving forward, you got the Braves or the Phillies. You shouldn't be scared of the Phillies, even though they had played them well during the regular season. And then the Braves, this is get-back time. You know, yep. So the Braves should be motivated to go out here and stomp the Padres. Don't let this shit linger. Win this shit before.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with that one. I think it'd be an entertaining series. But I think all these series are going to be entertaining. Like, I feel like the series that has the most potential to get off the rails is Astros Mariners. Like, it could be one of them games where it's like fourth inning is like 5-0. Like, let me see what else is on. I think majority of these series is going to be something that you want to watch front to back. So
yeah, even Cleveland, New York. You know, you always have your issues with that Cleveland offense, but yeah,
definitely.
Scott, wrap it up for me.
So yeah, man, this is 40-40 Club Divisional series. We're gonna be with y'all through this whole playoffs the next couple weeks, man. Of this playoff series, we're gonna see what happens, man. Of course, you know to follow us on Twitter at @BarbChairScott, at Cameron Santo, at @OctoberZoneTay, at @Junior_Salito. Visit bcnet.com. Follow the Barbershop Network on Twitter and Instagram at @BarbershopNet. Barbershop Shop is coming soon. Patreon.com/BarbershopNetwork. Last week it was free for like Customer Appreciation Week. That paywall back up, baby. The paywall back up. Come on, check it out. Me and Dante, we break down episode 8, House of Dragon. We also going to break down the Redeem Team documentary very soon. And basketball's back next week, so that means Ball Don't Lie is back next week. And I will be back. Season 2 covering the Clippers. Going to have a lot of access for y'all. Look out for that. And yeah, man, that's all we got for y'all, man. So we'll holler at y'all next week.